pray so the presence of God can be with us. God, we praise you, O Lord. We worship you in Jesus' name. God, I pray that you anoint my mouth, O Lord, and I know anoint our ears so we can hear your word. We can understand your word. In Jesus' name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to talk about the miracle at midnight. And then we are very familiar with this story. But in studying for this class, God put something in my heart, something new. So we're going to start reading with Paul and Silas while they were preaching. We're going to start with Acts 16, 14, 19. And the Bible says that a woman named Lydia heard them. It means Paul and Silas in one of the cities they were preaching. While teaching, the Lord opened her heart and to the things that the apostles were talking about, they were speaking about. And the Bible say that she and her household were baptized. And the Lord say the Bible say that she was a very faithful woman to the Lord. Verse 16 says, as they, Paul and Silas, went to pray, the certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, started following them, who brought them her master's much profit by fortune telling. Now, this was not in my notes, but I'm just going to just say it a little bit, something. We live in a society, I don't know if you are familiar with or not, but like a work sometimes, they believe in fortune telling and they think that is something so innocent. There is something like to play with, something like I just do it for fun. But honestly, it is clear in the Bible that it's a spirit of divination and it's not from God. So we as Christians, we cannot align ourselves or involve ourselves with those things. I'm just saying that. Now, verse 17, the Bible say that this young girl was following them around everywhere they went and for many days, and she started crying out every day, these men are servants of the Most High who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. Now, what she's saying, it was truth, but it was not her. It was the Spirit is speaking through her. And a lot of times, and I don't really know and I really haven't studied in depth, but a lot of times the spirits, what they like to do is disrupt the presence. They disrupt the presence of God or the plan that God has that is, you know, is disruption. But Paul recognized the Spirit, turn and say to the Spirit, not to the girl, to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And the Bible say that very moment, the Spirit came out. That moment, there was no questioning. There was no talking. There was nothing. It just came out of her. How powerful is that? Verse 19, it say, but when her masters, they saw what happened, they got really upset because she's the one that brought them money. You know, they survive. They live their lives, you know, for the fortune telling that she did. And verse 20 said that, there were hope the prophets. And they say that they seized Paul and Silas and they dragged them and took them to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrate and say to them, these men travel our city. And they teach customs which are illegal for us, being Roman, to receive or to do. They didn't care about that. The only thing they cared is their money was gone. But then the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates commanded them to be beaten. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw him into the prison, but commanded the jailer to keep them very safe. So he said, hey, wait a minute. I have to make sure these men don't escape. So he went to the inner part, the more secure part. And not only that, they fastened their feet on their stock. So they were chained to their feet. So if you think about this, there was absolutely nothing that Paul, Silas, or the followers did wrong. Absolutely nothing. They were working in God's will. They were doing the work of God. They were doing everything they were called to do. They were going city by city, spreading the gospel. And this is how they get paid? if you think about it. But Paul and Silas were doing the great things for God. People were coming and be baptized, entire families. You know, all of us, I don't know you, but when you keep reading and you hear the miracle that happened, all of us love the miracle, and we should. Nothing's wrong with that. But all of us love the miracle because the miracle is the manifestation of God's power. But we have to be honest, and we have to understand that for them to have a miracle, it had to be somebody suffering. It had to be a midnight. It had to be a problem. It had to be a tribulation. So we have to understand that before the miracle, they are always a tribulation, a problem. They're always. But that's how God operates. In the situations that we have no control, we have no power, that's when God comes in, and that's when he does that miraculously. But we have to understand that it has to be somebody, because the Bible doesn't talk about the people that were following them. But I am 100% sure there were people full of the Holy Ghost. There were people that were praying. There were people that were giving money to help them to go through city from city. There were people that probably were feeding them. There were all these people the Bible doesn't talk about, but we know that there were other people. So the Bible mentioned only two men, and they might not mention everybody by name, but we do understand that it takes a village. We do understand that it takes more than two people. We know that. So even though their names are not written in the Bible, they are written in the book of life. They are written in heaven. And it's as much as important for the miracle, just the person that God chooses to manifest the miracle, to do the miracle. It is as important the people they are behind praying for them, that the supernatural happens. Now, we have, some of our problems, our trials, our situations, only God can destroy them. Only God can shake the foundation of our imprisonment. And of course, we do understand that now it's not just a physical imprisonment. But what is your prison today? Is it sickness? Is it financial problems? Is it love of money? Is it depression? What is it? Is it a plain attack of the enemy in your family? What is that imprisonment? But I'm here to tell you that it doesn't matter what it is. God has the power. And that is not a thing that we should doubt. But the problem is, and I'm saying this with personal experience, the problem is that we do not understand the power. We do not understand who God is really. Is one thing to know about God, and it's another thing to know him intimately. And it's another thing for you to see what the Bible said about you, but it's another thing for you to know it and have it on your soul, what the Bible say to who you are. We shall be willing to sacrifice our time, our finances, our talents, our comfort to advance God's kingdom. We all should love the miracle, but all of us also should be willing to be the part of the making of the miracle. All of us should. All of us. Some of us should be willing to pray. Some of us should be willing to cry, to sacrifice, for even suffer for this. Now, during the imprisonment, and this is what I love, Paul and Silas gave us the way out. And we're going to pick up on Acts 16, 25, 30. And it says, after all of these, after they were in chains, it said, but at midnight, it means in the middle of the storm, in the middle of your problem, Paul and Silas were praying and what? Singing. Singing. Can you imagine this? Just picture this. They've been beaten. They are sick, probably. They are in a lot of pain. They are suffering. And what they do? Sing praises. I'm not sure I'm there yet, but But what a great example to follow. Singing praises. Singing. You know, and not only that, they were singing loud because the Bible says that the prisoners were listening to them. They heard them singing. They probably thought, what's wrong with these men? These men are crazy. Which is beaten. They are in the deepest part of the prison. They are chained on their feet and they are in pain. They probably hungry. They call and they are singing. What kind of people is these? But suddenly it says something happened. There was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. Let me tell you, some of your problems will never change until God shakes the foundation of those problems. He will shake those, but in the shaking, he will shake you too. But if you are standing strong, it will be a powerful thing. And it is a powerful thing. And he said that immediately all the doors were opening and everyone's chains were loose. When you pray for your own miracle, it's not all about you. It's about those around you. They will hear you. They will see you. They will be delivered. They will be blessed because of you submitting yourself to the will of God. So it's not all about us. It's not all about us. Yes, we want the miracle in our lives. But we have to be honest. The miracle is to bring God's glory. How will God bring glory? All of us will see the miracle. Not only us, the body of Christ, but the people out there. The people that have never heard about God. The people that will follow when they see the miracle. They will know there is something different. So it's not all about us. It's about all of them. And he said that the keeper of the prison awakened from his sleep and seeing all the doors were open, supposing that the prisoners had fled, he drew his sword, he got his sword out, and he was going to kill himself. And Paul called with a loud voice, and he said, hey, do not hurt yourself. Do no harm to yourself. We all here. And the keeper ran and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He was not worshiping them. He fell because he knew there was a power that had operated through them. He knew that there was something different. And he said that he brought them out and say, sir, what must I do to be safe? This is all about. This is it. This is what it's all about. Your miracle, you will have your miracle. You will benefit from it. But this is all about, it's other people. What can I do? What do I have to do to be safe? What do I need to do to know this God? How can you be so calm? How can you be so peaceful? You know, we are humans. We feel emotions and we should. I mean, we feel emotions. But there's one thing that you feel emotions and you allow your emotions to manipulate you, to take over you, and you end up making decisions according to your emotions or your feelings. It's totally different. Our response and our attitude to all these difficult things is our best testimony. Without words, you can tell people how God is so great, how God is so good, how God delivered you with your testimony. Paul and Silas respond in their suffering, in their middle of the nightmare, in the midnight, was the channel that got used for a great miracle. Not only for the chains to be broken, but for other people. Not only that, healing can happen through you, through your testimony. Other people will say, wait a minute, she was healed. I need healing. And God can do a miracle in other people's life because of your testimony. But how we get to the place that at midnight we sing praises instead of falling apart? How can we get to that place that everything around you it is falling apart. Everything around you is out of your hands, is out of your control. You have no control over anything all around you. And then you stay still and you start singing a praise. How can we get to the place? First of all, is trust in knowing God. It's not just enough to know about God. We have to know God for ourselves. Do I know Him enough to trust Him with my sorrow? When you are in your pain, do you trust God enough to bring the sorrow and say, here He is? Do we really trust Him? Do I know Him enough to trust Him in my problems? Do I know Him enough to let Him be God? Sometimes it's not about you demonstrating that you are spiritual. It's about you saying, okay, it's time for me to stand still and just God be God. It's about trust. God is developing something in you. And one of those things is trust. You can trust Him. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We can never compare to God. Now, two things that I have learned that God had taught me in my personal life, two things that I should never do ever while I'm in the midnight hour, and that is murmur and complain. Never complain. Never murmur against God. We know the story of the children of Israel. We know them. And let us just not know them, but take something from there. They were in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness because they could not stop murmuring and complaining against God. Murmuring and complaining is a betrayal to God. A betrayal is to be unfaithful and disloyal to God. Every time that we complain, we are so disloyal and unfaithful to God, whether we admit it or not, whether we accept it or not. But that's what it is to God. Not to us, but to God. It is totally the opposite of trust. Murmur and complaining open a door to many other sins in our lives. It does. We think that as long as we don't speak it, it's okay. Nobody hear it. But this is so far from the truth. The Bible says that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth is speaking. Sooner or later, we're going to start saying it. Sooner or later, it will affect our choices. It will affect our decisions. If we always murmur and complain, we're not seeing things through the eyes of God. We're seeing everything from a negative point. And eventually, it will affect the way that we think about others, the way that we treat others, the way that we speak to others. It will, the way the decisions that we make, we're not going to be in aligned with God to make decisions that pleases Him. Because we see everything through that weakness, through that murmuring, that complaining. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So even if we don't say it, God is not going to pay attention to what we say with our mouth, but He's going to go deeper into our soul, and He's going to look, and He's going to say, I want to know, what were your intentions when you say that, when you did that, when you made the choice? What were your intentions? So the word of God goes deeper. So it is. It makes a difference. It doesn't matter if you speak it or not. If it's in your soul, God sees it. And it's the same thing. What was the intention behind the actions? God always see that. And I learned this a long time ago. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I learned this a long time ago. I literally get in front of the mirror and say, what are your intentions when you do that to myself? because I want my heart to be clean. And if something's wrong there, it's okay. God, my intentions were wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. That's the way that we do it. We cannot hide our thoughts from God. It is important to keep our heart clean and pure from any thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of who God is. If we think that we can think, but we don't say it, it's okay. We are exalting those thoughts above what God is, because the Bible says that God will read the intentions of our soul. So do we make God a liar? No. 2 Corinthians 10:5 say, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, let me tell you what God, and this been a long time ago, that God spoke to me through that verse, and then he taught me. And I understood something. Bringing into captivity. That means it's my job. My job. Every time that I think anything negative, every time that I think anything that is not according to the will of God, it's my job to get that thought and say, I will bring you down into captivity. It's my job. God will honor your faith in doing it, but it starts with us. God is not going to come out of the blue and he's going to poop, just change it and let it go. No, we have to make plans and choices, and we have to take steps that will tell God we are willing to change. We are willing to get that mind right. Every time your mind is overcome with negativity or any attack of the enemy, bring those thoughts. Attack those thoughts with the word of God. And this is what God taught me. I used to carry with me verses of the Bible that spoke to me in a specific situation that I always see myself thinking in negative ways. And then I carry it with me everywhere I work and everywhere. I carry it with me because I can't carry the Bible when I'm working, you know. But I carry those verses. And every bad thought that it came to my mind, I will pull it out and I will start reading the word. And it seems something so simple that it might not work, but let me tell you, it does work. It does, because God will honor your effort. And isn't not that what the word of God says? That's what he says. So God will honor. When you start doing that, you start changing your habits, because it's not just a spiritual, it is a habit. It is a habit. So when you start training your mind, they say, no, you will not go there. And you start training your mind. Those habits start changing. And God starts seeing and say, she is making an effort. Let me help her, because she is really want to change. She is really making an effort. And God will honor that. So something so small, they might seem insignificant. But honestly, that's what it changed my life, little by little. Small steps, getting bigger steps, and you get delivered. God will deliver you. In Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on those things. So don't tell me that the Bible says, be careful what you think. It is there. So find yourself verses of the Bible that speak to your specific problem, a specific situation. It's a sickness. What does the Bible say? What God tells you about sickness that he has overcome? So we start finding. If it's, negative thoughts, think about how God can take control over your mind. And whatever verse of the Bible speak to you, start every morning with that. And if you need to print it out, write it down, and take it in your pocket, do it. But do something that shows God that you are willing to change that behavior. Now, singing praise at midnight, it doesn't come natural. It will not. It will not out of the blue you're going to be one person and then whoo, you're going to be singing. No, it's a small steps to get there. Small step. Every decision you make, if it's decision that you make according to the word of God or God's will, it's a big step you're taking towards God. Every day you grow closer. And that's what we're supposed to do. We will never be perfect. We're human. But to say we will get more like Jesus every day, that's the whole point, to be like Jesus, to have his mind, let it be this mind in you. Whose mind? Jesus' mind, Jesus' thoughts, the way he processes information, the way he thinks things, the way he sees people is Jesus. Think, everything can quickly change. Everything can be going great, and out of the blue, boom, everything changed. It's out of your hands. It's a tragedy. There's nothing you can do. You know, God chose Paul and Silas for that specific moment. He knew they walked with him. He knew the growth they've been through it. He knew that they were prepared for that. He knew that. God sees you in your problem. God sees you in your situation. And you are not there just by mistake. God didn't put you there thinking that it will be somebody else. No, he knew exactly. That tells me that he has already placed in you what you need to overcome your situation. He knows that. He has done it. He's not going to put you in a place when you have no preparation, you have no idea what to do. He will never do that. He is not an irresponsible God. He's not. He will say, well, you know, she's been going through this to this. She has growth to this point and this point. I think she's ready for this. I think he's ready for this. God will never put you in a place where he have not given you what you need. Not only that, but we have the word of God. He's not sending you empty-handed. We have examples in the word of God. How men and women of God overcame tribulations. And honestly, it doesn't matter how bad it gets for me, it will never be as bad as they had it. It won't. I will never be in prison for standing right here and talking about the Bible. We won't. We're not going to be beaten. We're not going to be in chains because in other countries happens, but not here in the United States. But we will never suffer as much as they did. But yet, they give us the way to respond. They give us the way to follow. They give us that example. He has given you everything you need. You know, the best indicator of how much you have grown is how you handle your midnight hour. I have changed a lot. You might not see it, but I see it. I know, and I'm glad, because that means that I am submitting to God and I am growing. And all of us should. I remember having problems less than right now what I'm having, and I fall apart. Oh my goodness, I used to fall apart. Now I'm like, well, it is what it is. God got this. I'm done. Let me go to sleep. So we get better, right? We get better, and that's what we should do. Have the peace, have the confidence that God will do it. Now, I'm not trying to pretend that I don't have emotion, that sometimes I cry my balls out. I'm human, but those emotions do not control me anymore. They don't. I might cry, and I said, okay, I'm done crying. Okay, now what can I do now? Let me take a nap, and I'm better. See, we should get better. We should get to the point that we have those emotions, but then we're like, okay, I'm done crying. Let me move from this. What can I do? You know, just do something. So it's growth, and I'm not there yet, but I am getting better. I have to say that. I'm getting better. You know, just as Paul and Silas invited God in their midnight, through their praise, so we can do the same thing. our praise is an invitation for God. It's saying, God, I trust you. I'm not pretending that it doesn't hurt because it hurts, but I trust you. This is one thing that I learned too, to make a declaration. I make a declaration. I remember going through something really horrible, and I made a declaration. I stood in front of the mirror, and I looked at myself, and I said, I will not murmur and complain. I will not stop going to church or working in his kingdom. I will trust God. I will praise and worship. His ways are higher than my ways. I say, I don't understand what's going on. I don't care. He does. I don't comprehend what's going on. I don't care. He is smarter than I am. He knows what's going on. He knows. To make the declaration is for two things, two purposes. One is that you align yourself with the word of God. Number one, align yourself with the word of God. And two, what the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So you declaring to God, you declaring to yourself, and you are declaring to the devil, I will stand strong. And when I'm not as strong, God got this. I will not murmur. I will not complain. I trust God. So when you make the declaration, you're not just making that declaration to yourself, but you're making that declaration in the spiritual realm. You're going beyond the flesh. You're going beyond what you just hear. You're going beyond that. You go into the spiritual realm and you stand before the devil and the enemy and you say, I will not complain. I will not murmur. I will pray. I will go to church. You making that declaration before him. So it's for yourself, for God, and to let the devil know where you stand. And he eventually will flee from you. It's in the word. He will flee from you. You know, God is developing our character through anything that we're going through. How are we going to resist the devil if all we do is entertain negative thoughts? We become very easy target for the enemy. Negative thoughts will be the avenue which the devil will use to navigate your life. You are giving them, you are opening the door of your soul, of your mind, of your life, and saying all through your negative thoughts, you are welcome. Just the same way that with your positive thoughts and the trust in God will open a door for you for the miraculous to happen. It's the same concept. Now, Paul and Silas had to choose at that moment during the midnight hour what they were going to do. Complain? They had enough to complain. They sure did. They were working for God. People were being baptized. You know, devils were being cast out. They were working hard for God's kingdom. And that's what they got, the reward. But they chose not to. They were on the way to prayer when the spirit on this young girl followed them around. They were confronted. They were minding their own business. But Paul discerned, and this is what we need. We need a spirit of discernment to discern the spirits or the intentions behind the actions. She was possessed with the spirit of a divination. She followed them around. But when they say, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, there was no doubt. There was not fear in the apostles. There was no fear. When he say, I command you, things happen in the spiritual realm. That command was with confidence based in his private, personal life and relationship with Jesus. You have to be sure of who you are. That command was backed up with the Paul's obedience and submission to the word of God. That command was backed up with the knowledge of who Jesus is. And that command was based in the knowledge of who he was. How can we defeat the devil when we don't even know who we are? How can we do that? It's not going to happen. How can we defeat the devil when we don't know what God has promised in his word to us, the spirit and the power that is available to us? How can we do that? How can we say, I commend you, when you are an unhappy Christian? You complain every time it's a choir practice, every time that we have to clean, every time that it's a special event. We complain about this, we complain about that. Oh my goodness, it's so heavy. Such small things that we do for God's kingdom and become so heavy for us. How can we say, I commend you, when we don't even love the God we serve the way that we should love him? I'm not saying that we don't love him, but we probably love him in one level. But he wants to be loved in private. He wants to be loved in a spiritual realm, not only what he can do for you, but this is not about us. What can we do for him? What can we do? It's a big difference having imperfections as humans in our flesh. We all are. But having a rebellious spirit, that's what is going to keep us from the power of God. And I think a lot of us, we're not going to say, oh, I'm rebellious. None of us going to say that. But our actions, that's where you have to pay attention to the actions. You have to pay attention to what was the intention behind the action. You really do have to pay attention. And it's not to make yourself feel bad. It's for you to know that there is a problem. God, I do have a problem. Help me to take care of this. And take a step towards. When Paul said, I commend you in the name of Jesus, had nothing to do who he was and his title. It has nothing to do with that. That command was obey in the spiritual realm. The devil had no choice but to submit himself to the command. Because Paul's true character and relationship with Jesus was real. We can come to church and all that, and we can do that. I'm not saying that we're faking it. But when you have a spiritual power in the spiritual realm, that is something totally different. I'm not sure I'm there yet either, but that's something totally different. That is something that God sees in you. Not your imperfections as human, but the intentions you do things in every day. What intentions do you do your job with? Do you do your job because you get paid and that's what you're supposed to do? Or do you say, okay, I'm going to do this because I get paid for it, but I will do it with a good heart and a good intention because people are watching me. What are the intentions that we do things every day? God, look at the intentions. You know, we don't know if Paul had fear. Probably he was fearful. I mean, it's human. We can feel those emotions. We know that he faced pain, a lot of pain. But God doesn't promise us that we will never confront or face any difficulties or any problem. Quite the opposite. Jesus told his disciples in John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's one thing that I want you to focus on, that in me you have peace. In me you have peace. We can go through a lot of things, but we have peace. God will carry us through. We don't know where everything is going. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't understand how God is going to do it, but we have peace and we trust him and we know that he's going to do it. Why? Not only because we believe his word, but because we love him. See, our problem is Our problem is many times that we follow God and we don't stop to think, why are we following God? We don't stop. We just do it because we're supposed to do it. We know that's the right thing to do. We keep doing it. But there is a Christianity beyond that. There's something beyond that, and I had to learn that on my own. There's something beyond. And it's when you really fall in love with Jesus. It changed you. It changed everything you do. It changed the intentions which you do, other things. It changed the way you see your brothers and sisters. It changed the way you see the church. It changed the way you see when you do something for God. It changes everything when you fall in love. You do it because you love to do it. Not only because it's the right thing to do, but you do it because of love. So I think that in this generation, we have to learn how to fall in love with Jesus. Don't do things only because of rules. Now, if you're doing things because of rules, that's a start. But it's not the end. That is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Obey the word. You might don't understand why, but you know that it's the right thing and you do it. Keep doing it. But then go beyond that. Say, God, teach me. Show me. How am I supposed to do this with love? You can be honest with God. You can talk to God. He already knows what you're thinking, so might as well, right? We don't say it because we're scared. We are afraid to hear it. Because when we listening to ourselves to talk, we're like, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe, well, you think that. So it's okay to say it. Say, God, this is my problem. And I have a problem with this. I don't want this in my life. Show me how to do it. But do it with love. Not only because you have to, not only because that's the right thing to do, but do it because of love. And I have a long way to go. But I can honestly stand before you and tell you that I love what I do in the church. I do. It is very inconvenient to come and check the building every time it's a service. Every single week. It is inconvenient, but I don't complain. I do it because of love. It's a small part, but I do it because of love. Very inconvenient. But it's love. So we have to get to the point. You know, I have to clean the building because somebody's sick. You know, it's okay. It's inconvenience. It messed up my schedule. But you know what? I do it because of love. I don't even allow myself to think anything negative. I do not allow myself. So today, if you miss everything, don't miss one thing. Work on falling in love with Jesus. Your whole world will change. So that's my prayer today. As we stand, we're going to pray and prepare for the service. God, I pray that we fall in love with you. God, I pray that every single thing that we do for your kingdom, God, I pray that it comes from the intentions of love in our heart. So when you look at us, our most inner part of our soul, you can see that everything we are doing, the intentions are love. God, I pray your presence to be with us in the service. In Jesus' name, bless our service of God. And I pray that you fill people with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.